You know, my own sense is moving us where we want to be for that true sustainable future, where we're not only at zero net carbon, but actually creating better and better productivity, efficiency, with less power consumption, with better sources of fuel generation. That's going to take a lot of time and a lot of dollars.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Undaunted with Robert Swan and NTT Data. I'm Dan Smith, your host, and we're shifting gears with this episode. In the first installments, we learned about the lives, adventures, and challenges faced by Robert Swan and his son, Barney, as they have pursued a global mission to protect Antarctica and promote sustainability. In this episode, we'll explore a business perspective on sustainability. There is no monolithic point of view that covers all businesses around the world, but NTT Data has a distinct point of view, and the NTT Group's operations touch nearly every country on Earth. I'll be talking with two different executives to understand NTT Data's perspective, beginning with Bob Pryor, the CEO of NTT Data's operations in North America. Or, to be more technically accurate, Bob leads the company's operations that serve clients primarily based in North America. We have a lot to cover, so we're going to dive right in. NTT Data is a top 10 global IT services provider, and especially well-known in Asia, and you've become a rising force in the Americas and Europe. How do you describe the company when people ask, what is NTT Data?
Yeah, you know, great question. We're actually a top 5 IT service provider around the world. So, roughly 180,000 people, $30 billion in revenue, operate across 80 countries. So very large global company, primarily operate in the world of systems integration, technology services. That's what we're known for.
Supporting Robert Swan's next expedition, the Undaunted Expedition, was actually your idea. You felt very strongly about that. Why?
You know, the long-term highest priority for our company, both for NTT Data and our parent company, NTT, is realizing a sustainable future. Robert was a guest speaker at a sales recognition event we had last year, and he had such a compelling life story, not only about his goal and quest to walk, be the first human to walk on both poles, but more importantly, about sustainability, the importance of the poles in terms of our planet, our sustainability, our drinking water supplies, and I just loved the story, and it's so aligned with our story as a company and our priority. And so I was thrilled to be able to have the opportunity to support Robert on his quest to achieve his lifelong ambition and finish his last 100 miles on the Antarctic.
Right. He has had an amazing career as an adventurer. You have, if I may say so, have had a very distinguished career in IT services. You've worked in sales and also in executive leadership. Through those experiences, you've seen hundreds of businesses up close and personal. Has the concept of corporate citizenship changed over the years, especially around sustainability and climate change?
You know, it probably feels like it's changed, and sometimes the topics or details change. But when I think about leading a company, I worry about our customers, our employees, our end users, our partners, our communities in which we live and operate. And so I reject the concept of a mutually exclusive set of choices. You can only do this or that. And the reality is our job is hard because we have to balance priorities. And, you know, for some period, we may have balanced on profitability. We may have balanced on, you know, customer service at the expense of profitability. And some companies early on prioritized their employees. They felt like if they gave their employees a great experience, they would serve their clients well, that would create a great company. And so regardless, we all have stakeholders, we all have priorities, and actually I think they can be complementary. So to the question, I think sustainability is a hugely important priority for all of us, and we have to not only make room for it, but we have to prioritize it in the balance of the other priorities of our business across financial, employees, customer service, and certainly, as corporate stewards, we have to prioritize the need for sustainability. And I think that is the right way to approach it.
You also participate in the Wall Street Journal CEO Council, which brings together leaders from diverse industries to talk about critical issues and how businesses are responding. From these and other interactions that you have with peers, do you think there's a business consensus that has emerged around climate change yet?
You know, I think there's an awareness, if not consensus, around climate change. I think we're all seeing different climate patterns. I think the debate has centered around the causal factors. So if you move beyond how did we get here, what caused it, who's to blame, and you look at current reality, I think that's the right starting point for us to galvanize our respective companies and countries and citizens in striving for a more sustainable future. And so even if you look at the largest oil companies in the world, they're not really debating climate change. They're actually some of the most progressive in investing in alternative fuels and moving us away from heavy dependence on fossil fuel. And so I think the reality is across every industry, sustainability is a top priority. Across every company, it's a board level issue now. And so from that standpoint, I think we have more awareness and a galvanizing initiatives and capital and prioritization. So I'm excited about where we are. I think the challenge is, as much as we want to believe it's maybe a billion-dollar problem and we can solve it in a year or two, you know, my own sense is it's trillions of dollars in decades. So moving us where we want to be for that true sustainable future where we're not only at zero net carbon, but actually creating, you know, better and better productivity, efficiency, with less power consumption, with better sources of fuel generation, you know, that's going to take a lot of time and a lot of dollars.
Climate change is just one of the critical and very complex issues facing large enterprises today. What do you see from your point of view with NTT Data? What do you see as the most significant obstacles and challenges that large enterprises face today?
You know, NTT Data publishes an innovation index. So it's a broad-based survey of business leaders. So constant disruption has been a major challenge regardless of industry geography. The pandemic really dramatically changed all of our lives. And it also, though, was a catalyst for driving massive spend in digital transformation. So how do we modernize our IT? How do we create digital technologies to create better experiences and more access of information to serve our clients, our employees, our partners? In this period, we're probably at the highest level of inflation, both for labor, non-labor, in 40 plus years. So clearly, as we look at the future, we're going to see some economic headwinds. You can't have this level of both inflation, interest rates, and, you know, a serious impact on growth and profitability without seeing kind of those economic headwinds. So whether that's a recession, a stagnation, an economic slowdown, it's inevitable. You know, and the question is, do we see it next year early, end of next year, year after? But it's coming, and I think we all have to prepare ourselves, which is one of the other big things we note on our innovation service, of the importance of resilience. Resilience for ourselves individually, corporately, across our country. And so from that standpoint, those are some of the really big themes. So disruption, inflation, critical shortage of labor skills, technology, assets that we need, and certainly against a backdrop of some challenging economic headwinds that are coming at us.
Historically, information technology is viewed as a clean industry, but it's actually very dependent on electricity and electricity generation. What's your view on the IT industry's overall contribution to climate change?
We are a part of the impact of climate and climate change. So when you think about the IT services, at the individual worker level, you know, think of us like any office worker. We consume electricity in a building or in our home. We create systems, we manage systems, so that means that we use data centers, we use networks, and they consume a lot of power. So we're part of an industry that consumes power. So by definition, we contribute to some of the current challenges. And so at the same time, for us within our company, for our customers, we're always looking for how to help them create more efficiencies, more productivity. How do we reduce our energy consumption? And so we play a part of that. In the U.S., I think about 15% of the carbon emissions come out of the U.S. So by definition, were a very large contributor to that emission challenge. And at the same time, we all play a part in reducing consumption, finding more efficient ways of getting our jobs done for ourselves, for our customers, reducing our carbon footprint. And I think one of the other things that's really important is small steps across a lot of people have a big impact. So we all have an opportunity to change that trajectory, to plant a tree, to reduce energy consumption, to consume one less plastic thing, no matter what it is. And so from that standpoint, we all need to be all in on this. No one really gets a hall pass from it.
What role does sustainability play in NTT Data's overall strategic plan?
You know, as we said at the very beginning, it's a top corporate priority. So realizing a sustainable future, one of our highest priorities and one of our longest term goals and objectives. It's important for us, it's important for our customers, our employees, our partners, and so we're all in on this journey together. And I think, you know, coming back to what I mentioned a moment ago, the data centers, you know, even in that opportunity, this past year, we had an opportunity to convert two of our data centers to alternative fuels. And it actually cost more money, but it was the right thing to do. And so it wasn't a huge amount of money, and in the scheme of things, insignificant on our financials, but a really big impact in terms of our carbon footprint and helping us achieve a zero carbon or a carbon neutral footprint by 2030, which is a very big corporate goal and commitment.
When Rob spoke to the NTT Data event last May, which our listeners heard in the very first episode of the Undaunted podcast, he said that good sustainability is good business. Do you agree?
Absolutely. As it's a high priority for us, it is for many of our customers. And from that standpoint, one of the ways to help solve that problem is to use technology, new innovation, new technologies, not only to baseline your current footprint, but then find some really good innovative ways and better use of technologies to drive it down. So from that standpoint, it's the right thing for our planet, for our sustainability, for our futures. And economically, we will find some very attractive projects that we deliver on behalf of ourselves and our clients that ultimately will generate probably very substantial return on invested capital. So it goes back to my earlier point about having different stakeholders and different priorities. And rather than seeing them at odds, I think we need to see how they can complement each other. How can we achieve multiple goals and objectives in alignment? And sustainability is one of those, has to be.
So you've sort of answered this, but what is the business value that you see from sustainability and NTT Data's efforts in particular around sustainability?
You know, I would say economically thus far, probably very limited. And at the same time, knowing what our long-term corporate goal is towards a sustainable society for all of us, you always have early investments that always look a bit negative if you just put them on a spreadsheet, but over time they can be some of your absolute best investments on almost any measure, certainly and including return on invested capital. And I view sustainability in that category. We're going to invest for a while. It probably would look net negative in terms of what we're spending relative to what we can measure. But over time, I think that will change, and it will change substantially to the positive.
Do you have some sustainability offerings in your portfolio right now?
We do. We have a few. Some that we're doing internally of driving down kind of our energy demand and consumption. Some with working with partners like Microsoft, using their software to help clients even start to measure and track their footprint so they can baseline it and then from there progress.
What about innovation? In addition to mitigating or reducing greenhouse gases, how important is innovation for fighting the threats from climate change while still allowing society to move forward?
You know, again, I think very complementary. It's not one or the other, it's both. So mitigation, reducing our carbon emissions, our gases, those I think we're further along. We have a lot more things in our toolkit driving that. And it's even as simple individually, we adjust our thermostat. So when it's cold outside, we don't turn quite so much heat on. When it's hot outside, we don't turn the air so cool. So a lot of things we can do physically and with technology and with other innovation on the mitigation front. You know, in the world of innovation, that is all whiteboard. But some really interesting things we're doing, like in the area of photonic chips, reducing the power or the energy demand that's required to make the chip, or reducing the amount of power required to actually fuel the chip, to provide enough electricity for it to do its job. And so things around that innovation layer are going to have a huge impact in our world. Batteries, working on more environmentally friendly batteries that avoid scarce materials as well as that produce toxic waste. That's another great area because batteries are a big part of our future energy solution, but we need to find more sustainable batteries. We need to find more sustainable components for the batteries. And so another great area of innovation, one that I love that's just such a cool example, Seagrass. It's purely about sustainability. So in the R&D labs, they're looking at, you know, again, how do you plant more around the world, which is one where they can grow plentifully. But the other is, how do you alter the makeup of the seagrass so it can actually absorb more of the carbon? So yeah, great innovations. And again, kind of what we said at the beginning, NTT spends about $3.5 billion a year in R&D. These are some incredibly important and cool areas of investment for that R&D budget. So really excited to be a part of that.
Now, I want to welcome Corey Pierce to the show. Corey leads the sustainability program across the NTT Data Operations led by Bob Pryor. She's also Vice President of External Communications, and these joint roles provide visibility and perspective into what's happening in the broader world, as well as NTT Data's response. Corey, welcome to the Undaunted podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
So NTT Data has a long-term target of carbon neutrality by 2050, with incremental targets until then. Achieving those goals, though, requires people. And actually, your work involves mobilizing people. Can you tell us what's involved there? What's the response? And are you seeing engagement on the issue of climate change?
Sure, absolutely. So as a technology company, technology is an excellent enabler for some solutions to help with climate change, to help address that problem. But to your point, the people have to be a part of it. And the way we think about sustainability is it's improving the society in which we all live and work. And when you think of it that way, you simply can't take people out of it. The other important factor that I think is really, really important to keep in mind here is most of the people who are going to be doing this work don't have sustainability in their title. So there's a very real responsibility that we have to get people engaged and motivated and encouraged to buy into what we're trying to do and the goals we're trying to accomplish so that everyone plays a part in innovating and problem solving and in taking small steps every day to help improve our planet. So some of the things that we think about as we're doing that, as leaders, we can really lead with purpose. And what I mean by that is make sure that we are giving our employees encouragement and space to, you know, volunteer, maybe take on a stretch project that has to do with sustainability, things that will make it part of your company culture instead of making it feel like a regulatory check the box. We have to do these things for regulatory requirements kind of a thing. And that gets people engaged. They want to hire, you know, they want to come into the company. They're more likely to want to stay with the company. It gives a creative spark where people will get more involved in trying to problem solve with us.
And speaking of people, there is an employee resource group at NTT Data, Nest. Can you tell us about the leadership team there? Because it has quite the pedigree.
Absolutely. Nest is an employee resource group with over 1,000 employees. It's all volunteers, of course, and it's people who simply have an interest in environmental sustainability. So we've got, of course, executive leadership support. We're able to speak in our company all hands about it. But we do really fun things like eco-friendly challenges where everybody competes to do certain change behaviors to more sustainable behaviors. And as a result, for prizes, we do things like plant a tree in their honor. So it has sort of a double payoff on how we do that. But the good news is it's not hard to get people who want to be involved in this. There's a lot of enthusiasm both within our Nest chapter, but even just I have people coming to me who I may never have worked with otherwise, even though we work for the same company. We're 180,000 people. So there are a lot of employees at NTT Data who I don't know. And I have them coming to me because they know I'm working on sustainability and they are just asking how they can get involved, what they can do. And I'm certain that that's the case for so many other companies, that if you start to put the word out that this is something that the company cares about, again, leading with purpose, you're going to start to see a lot of hands raised to get involved.
And in fact, I was one of those people who raised my hands, and you were very kind in helping me find something that I could do. So in the interview with Bob Pryor just a minute ago, he was talking about the environmental impact of information technology. The industry has a clean reputation in comparison to some other industries, but IT, information technology, is not emissions free. And I've actually heard you talk about the carbon footprint of an email or a text message. Tell us about that.
I love sharing this data point with people because we think about going digital and, you know, we all talk about digital transformation, that it is good for our environment in that we're not traveling quite as much. We're not mailing physical letters. So there's some definite benefits. However, like you said, it still has a carbon footprint. Every email that we send requires quite a bit of energy to send, store, retrieve. Even when you're done with it, it still sits on a server somewhere, which sits in a data center that has to be heated and cooled. So every email, and especially if it has a large attachment, carries a carbon footprint. So there's a statistic that the World Economic Forum put out that says if everybody in the UK sent one less email per day, it would be the equivalent of taking 3,300 cars off the road, which just blows my mind every time I hear that stat. So if you think about, if you want to take one small step to get your sustainability journey started, that's a really easy one to start with, is send one less email a day. Chances are people don't want that many emails anyway. You know, we always sign up for these email lists to get a discount from a store or something like that. Once you're done with that, unsubscribe so that you don't have those going to your junk mail and then sitting in on a server somewhere, because even the ones that we're not seeing still have an impact on our planet.
Now, a critic would say, okay, small things can add up to big things, but even if everybody unsubscribes from a dozen email lists, it won't be enough to prevent catastrophic climate change. How do you respond?
Well, I'll give your words back to you, Dan, because I've heard you say this, that waiting for perfection is the enemy of progress. We're certainly not saying send one less email a day and then the job is done. That's a place to start. And to talk about it, to get other people talking about it. In fact, since I've shared that in a few different forums, again, I've had many people say, I was so happy to hear that I could actually make a difference just by unsubscribing from emails. I spent my lunch break doing that. So it's little things. And then we're spreading awareness and getting people thinking about it.
Excellent. Shifting beyond individuals. You were recently on a panel discussion at the Wall Street Journal Tech Live event, and you shared some really surprising research and development that's happening at NTT. And disclosure here, NTT is the parent company of NTT Data. Can you share some of those examples with the Undaunted audience about innovation related to climate change and a sustainable future?
Absolutely. We are really, you and I, Dan, are really lucky to work for a company that was founded on this idea that we have an opportunity to help the society that we live and work in. So NTT has an R&D budget of about $3.6 billion. A lot of that goes towards sustainability research and innovations. So they're looking at some really cool things. Some of them may be several years out, but that's how the research process works. So for example, one of them is photonic chips. It's semiconductor chips that use light instead of electricity for power. So they take much less power or much less of an impact on the planet in order to run. Another is batteries, environmentally friendly batteries that are built without using scarce or toxic materials. And they're environmentally friendly materials so that once the battery reaches its end of life, it's safe to go back into the environment. So it truly starts to make that circular economy that we hear about so much. Another one that I think is really kind of an interesting project is seagrass. Seagrass can absorb a lot more carbon dioxide than trees can, but it's very fragile. So think about a ship dropping an anchor. That anchor can destroy seagrass. So there are efforts to manually replant seagrass, and they can't keep up. So one of the things that our parent company is helping to research and to fund some research on is how we can create robots that go onto the ocean floor, plant seagrass in a much faster and more sustainable way, and in a safe way. They have to be really smart robots so that they don't hurt any of the existing ecosystem down there by running into barnacles, for example, or something like that. So really a widespread variety of different types of technologies that we're looking into, some of them that are really directly related to our business, like, you know, semiconductors, for example, and then others like seagrass, where we recognize there's a way we can make an impact that's going to help all of us.
We don't really want this to be an NTT Data commercial. So it's important to say that even though we're doing some really amazing things, we're not the only company out there working on innovations around sustainability. And the reason I say that is because it's important to give people hope. So NTT Data is a company that's working on it. NTT is working on it. And many other companies are making real progress on sustainable technology.
That's right.
Sustainability is often mentioned in the same breath as diversity, equity, and inclusion. Why is that? Does enhancing diversity really support strategies for achieving sustainability?
I definitely believe so. One of the reasons, like I said earlier, is if we're looking at improving society, that includes our planet and our people. You can't separate the two. The other is, I think if you're really making great strides in one area, let's say environmental sustainability, but your DEI track record is not strong, you will get called out for that, most likely by your own employees. A company will get called out by their own employees because your audience is not going to separate the two. They're not going to care that you're doing a great job reducing fossil fuels if you have a terrible track record on creating an inclusive environment at the workplace, for example. So I just don't think you can separate the two. I think you get called out if you handled that poorly. On a positive side, a positive way to look at that is when diversity becomes not only an open and celebrated part of your company culture, we've got some really great examples of how we've done that at NTT Data through some employee resource groups I'd be happy to talk about, but also making sure you've got a diverse team working toward your sustainability goals. So I'm really proud to talk about our Sustainability Council, of which you are a member. You lead our communications and do great work on that. The team of about 12 people, they're all within our company, but they come from, it's a team of five different countries where we represent five different countries based on where people are located, nine different divisions across our company. So all different skill sets and backgrounds and what skills they can bring to the table. And also all different experience levels, from fresh out of college this year to people who've been with the company for two decades or more. So we're able to look at these issues from all different perspectives, come at it with different ideas based on where we sit, literally, what kind of experiences we've had, what we're seeing in the countries where we live. And it helps make sure that we are not creating a one-dimensional strategy for how we approach the issues and opportunities that we're looking to go after as a sustainability team.
One more question, Corey. One of our future episodes will be devoted to helping individuals get started on their own journey towards sustainability. But while I have you, and because of your role in the company, do you have another favorite tip to share with our listeners, in addition to unsubscribing to unnecessary email lists or sending one less email?
That one is my favorite. I like a good alliteration, so I'll go with this. Look at four P's: power, plastics, paper, and pesticides. So if you can reduce your use of those four P's, and I'll say them again, power, plastics, paper, and pesticides. Pesticides, I think, is an interesting one. At least it's kind of an eye-opener for me, because for a long time, I thought about buying organic foods as only a benefit to me and my own health. I didn't think about the literally downstream effect of, while pesticides have a benefit, they make the production of crops much more efficient, but those chemicals can then get to unintended targets. They can seep into the soil, they can seep into the water and hurt other ecosystems. They can wreak havoc on pollinators like bees. So definitely look for organic foods if you have the ability to do that. And as you're looking to figure out how to reduce the four P's, here's my tip. Again, you start with one step, right? The one step is, for at least a week, just observe what you're using and what you're throwing away. Don't even try to make any changes for those first few days. Just look at, you know, takeout containers, yogurt cups, grocery bags that maybe are plastic, water bottles, especially for people who celebrate Christmas. We're about to start seeing a whole lot of Christmas cards go through the mail. Just look at what you're getting and what you're throwing away. Start to chip away at that. Think, I bet I could reduce this one piece of it next week. And then the next week, maybe it's something else. So that's my favorite tip, is observe and look at those four P's and how you can reduce those.
Thank you, Corey. And before we go, it's that time again for
Cold Hard Facts.
Antarctica is the only continent on Earth with no indigenous human population. This frozen desert belongs to no one, which means in a real sense, it belongs to all of us. International relations regarding Antarctica are regulated by the Antarctic Treaty System. The initial Antarctic Treaty was signed by 12 countries and went into effect in 1961. It was actually the world's first arms control agreement because it banned military activity on the continent and set Antarctica aside as a scientific preserve. Additional treaties and agreements followed, including the very important Protocol on Environmental Protection of the Antarctic Treaty, signed in 1991. This agreement prohibits development and protects the environment. Article 25 in the protocol says the treaty can be opened for review in 50 years or the year 2041. Some diplomatic details apply, and it can get a bit obtuse, as diplomacy often does. But the year 2041 marks a crucial period where protections for Antarctica could become at risk.
Corey, I want to thank you so much for your time and sharing your insights with us today. And best of luck with the Sustainability Council and to all of your NEST supporters at NTT Data.
Thanks so much. This was fun.
Okay. Talk again soon. Bye, friends.
All right. Thank you.